I would love to offer you some words of support for the relationships that you have in your life. And first of all, I want to say that grief, feeling sad, feeling frustrated, feeling hurt, feeling angry sometimes about how certain relationships might have changed or shifted, that's completely okay. So much changes in motherhood, and feeling a sense of loss for how things used to be before you had a baby is completely and utterly normal. It is not a reflection on how good or how grateful a mother you are. Something that really helps me navigate that shift in dynamic is to be a little bit more open with those directly around me as to how I'm feeling. I might say, oh, I'm just feeling really tired today. I'm feeling really grumpy. I'm feeling really tearful. I'm feeling really hormonal. And it gives them the opportunity so that they can be aware of that. Perhaps they can accommodate it a little bit more. Maybe they can be a bit more patient with me or offer me a little bit more comfort or support. I want to share with you some tips, some things that have really helped with my relationship with my partner, both postnatally and in the last few years. Tip one is never to assume. I think so often what we're reacting to in our partner is what we're assuming that they're thinking or feeling. I might assume that he's grumpy with me, so then I'm feeling a bit defensive. I'm looking out for signs that that might be true. And actually, it's so simple but so effective to say to him, are you grumpy with me? Just to give him that opportunity to tell me the truth. It might not be the case at all, or it might be perhaps that I did something that we can talk through or that I can apologize for. Another thing that really helped me was the understanding of what it is to be touched out. Now, I've always been a pretty tactile person. I might lean against my partner as we watch a film, but after having a baby and having children, it's like I became less tactile. I preferred to sit at the other end of the sofa. I needed an extra few inches between us in bed. And it was confusing for a while. It would have been understandable if he thought that perhaps I liked him a bit less or that I wasn't as interested. When really, when I started to realize that actually I had so much physical contact in the day, that come the evening when we were together, what I was craving was not to be cuddled up, but actually was to have some physical space. Now, he, on the other hand, works in an office, doesn't really have much physical contact, so he might come home craving the exact opposite of what I want. So it became this kind of unspoken confusion. But as soon as I was able to voice the fact that I'm touched out and it's not personal, the more that I was able to actually start to make intentional choices about the times that I felt able and willing to meet that tactile need of his. Another helpful tip is to not talk about things in the heat of an argument. It might be that there's a confrontation or some cross words shared between you. And then it's tempting just to untangle it all there and then. But when you're in the heat of those feelings, you're in the heat of that emotion, whatever it may be, it's not the best time to talk about it. We're far more likely to feel attacked or to feel defensive. And then any conversation that comes in that moment is not necessarily going to be helpful. So how can you just step away to breathe? To get some space, to get some clarity and perspective so that you can return to talk about it when you're not in that fight or flight mode, because conversations or often arguments that happen when we are in that fight or flight state are often not productive. This isn't about sweeping things under the carpet. It's about giving yourselves the opportunity to have those conversations that will actually help, not further harm or encourage that dynamic. It's really good to ask yourself What emotions were triggered for you in that exchange? What did you feel? So that when you do come to talk about it further, you can articulate that. Now, when you do speak, give each other the opportunity to speak fully before the other one starts talking. It can be really hard, especially when you feel that bubbling argument or the disagreement wanting to pop out. But actually, it gives that other person the opportunity to feel heard. When you do speak, try and use I statements instead of you statements, which can feel more accusatory. I feel a bit lonely when you're always on your phone in the evening. I would like to speak to you. Instead of you are always on your phone in the evening, it can just help conversation continue instead of the defensive walls fly up. Focus on compromise and resolution. Often I find that my focus is on winning an argument when actually sometimes I need to remember that we are on the same team. We are not two people fighting a battle against one another. We are two people with one desire to have a happy, healthy family. If imagery is helpful for you and you're facing an issue together, imagine it in a box on the floor as you sit on the sofa together. So often these challenges, it's like they sit between us and we're just attacking it in our own way together. When actually, if we metaphorically place it on the carpet in front of us, it's like we are addressing this issue together. I find this such a helpful way of reframing that. Now, if you are listening to this section on relationships and there is a particular relationship or maybe more than one relationship in your life that is actually really painful for you to think about, perhaps it needs far more than a couple of communication techniques. If you are struggling, or if you are finding that perhaps some damaging dynamics are repeatedly painful for you, then I encourage you to get support. I have listed some contacts in the support section of the PDF.